बिहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे जय श्रील प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परवज्रकाचार्य डॉक्टर वशिष्ठ श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Paranjana becomes a woman in his next life. Text number 4. Tayopabhujmanam vai Yavana sarvato disham Dwarbhi pravishyasu brisham Prardayan sakalam purim Tayo babujamanam vai Yavana sarvato disham Dwarbhi pravishyasu brisham Prardayan sakalam purim. Tayopa bhujyamanam vai Yavana sarvato disham Taya by Kala Kanya Upabhujamanam, being taken possession of Vai, certainly Yavanaha, the Yavanas Sarvata Disham, from all sides Dwarabhihi, through the gates Pravisha, having entered Subhrisham, greatly Prardayan, giving trouble Sakalam, all over Purim, the city. Translation: when Kala Kanya, daughter of time, attacked the body, the dangerous soldiers of the king of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. They then began to give severe trouble to all the citizens. Please repeat the verse. When Kala Kanya, daughter of time, attacked the body, the dangerous soldiers of the king of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. They then began to give severe trouble to all the citizens. Purport: the body has 9 gates, the 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth, rectum, and genitals. When one is harassed by the invalidity of old age, various diseases manifest at the gates of the body. For example, the eyes become so dim that one requires spectacles. Not so old. And the ears become too weak to hear directly, and therefore one requires hearing aids. The nostrils are blocked by mucus, and one has to always sniff a medicinal bottle containing ammonia. Similarly, the mouth, too weak to chew, requires false teeth. The rectum also gives one trouble, and the evacuation process becomes difficult. Sometimes one has to take enemas and sometimes use a surgical nozzle to accelerate the passing of urine. In this way, the city of Puranjana was attacked at various gates by the soldiers. Thus, in old age, all the gates of the body are blocked by so many diseases, and one has to take help from so many medicines and surgical appliances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gyanatamrandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadameham vidati swapadantikam vancha kalpatarubhyas chakra pasindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri vasati gora bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, Pratishava Prabhu and Danakeli Mataji, for allowing me to give class today. I spoke to Pratishava Prabhu, but you're giving lots of classes this weekend, so he said just go ahead and give class. So, and point of practical clarification, the microphone seems to be very loud on these videos, so therefore I pushed it back. So for that reason I'm doing this. If it's too quiet, please let me know. I can pick it up. I'm watching the videos because I can't come to the classes during the week, so I'm watching the classes on the internet. Okay. Again, the verse, Tayo pabu jamanam vai yavana sarvato disham dwarbhi pravishya subhrisham Pardayan Sakalam Purim. When Kala Kanya, the daughter of time, attacked the body, the dangerous soldiers of the king of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. They then began to give severe trouble to all the citizens. So now we're hearing a lot of specific things about the effects of age old age on the body. We've been hearing in general the theme of the difficulty of old age, how it's difficult, of course, for the sense gratification program, but also is difficult for spiritual life. For one who has not practiced spiritual life seriously prior to old age. And now we're getting into the gross manifestations of this time effect in terms of how they affect the nine gates of the body. The body, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, as he also explains in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is a figurative city that is this body, that is the city of King Puranjana, who is the conditioned soul. And that city has nine different gates, as our body has nine different holes, quote-unquote, eyes, ears, nostrils, mouth, rectum, genitals. So all of those become sources of difficulty for one to carry out his activities. Many of these, or all of these holes, are in the categories of, or help us with either acquiring knowledge or performing work in this world. The different senses are necessary for us to be able to do anything, obviously. So as they are affected by the time factor, as old age comes in, or even as we're hearing, as the deterioration of the body occurs, which isn't necessarily like when you're 80 years old, but, you know, I see little kids wearing glasses and wearing hearing aids, and, you know, this is just the condition of material life. We all have some difficulty with the senses or the these holes of the body being affected by different maladies. So as time affects us in these various ways, it becomes more difficult to be able to carry out the activities of the senses. So King Puranjana, or anyone who is a conditioned soul, will become distressed upon being attacked in such a way. You can imagine. We should imagine. Maybe we're not imagining, but it will be helpful for us to imagine. Maybe now I'm feeling a certain level of strength and ease with my material bodily circumstance. I'm able to do things that I take for granted, you know, that I won't be able to do in the future, and to consider, you know, how difficult actually it will be. We've been hearing a lot about that, how difficult actually it will be as we become more invalid. One senior devotee or disciple of Srila Prabhupada who was visiting us not too long ago was telling me, I never had any health problems. You know, some people are just fortunate like that. They just really don't have any serious health problems. Their karma, or whatever, Krishna's arrangement somehow has made that manifest for them. But he said, but now I have a serious health problem, so I'm taking it. Krishna understood that I was very proud because I didn't have any health problems, so now he's giving me some humility. So devotee takes things in different ways, but you know, the idea is that nobody stays healthy forever. So we have to consider that this will come. Unfortunately, for a personality like that, if he's seriously been engaged in Krishna consciousness, then he can take it as impetus for going deeper in his shelter from Krishna. But for King Puranjana, it's an attack. It's his city is besieged. His fortress of happiness, or his whole conception of life, is being destroyed. Because the idea of life and material existence is somehow or other satisfy the senses. And as the senses become more and more decrepit, they actually can't be satisfied. It's something like totally on a principle, not the exact same thing whatsoever, but when a person sometimes because of some horrendous event, suicide or something like that, they may take a ghost body. After this body, they may not get a gross body, but still in the subtle body, the desires to act and enjoy are there. So it's considered to be an even more suffering condition than having a material body, because not only do they want to fulfill desires as everyone else does, but they can't do it. So the frustration, the hankering, the suffering is of a different degree. So similarly, as our bodily condition disallows more and more of the sense gratification that we are perhaps used to being able to acquire easily or desiring to acquire in the future, our frustration in life will also increase. I was just reading in the Lili Lamrita last night, Srila Prabhupada was talking to one of his servants, and he was, at this time, Srila Prabhupada wasn't eating so much, his appetite was very low. And he asked the disciple, "Where's some orange juice? Get me some orange juice." And I guess they didn't have like orange juice in a bottle in the fridge. You know, they had to actually get oranges and make the juice for him. So he's like, "Prabhupada, it takes some time. And he's ringing his bell and like, "Come on, bring me the juice." You know, and so finally he comes and brings the juice, and Prabhupada says, "I don't want it anymore." And so he gave it to him anyway. And Prabhupada took it, you know. And this was part of his relationship with this particular servant, so it wasn't like he was actually angry at him, but out of his, you know, humility, of course, he expressed, "You know, in old age, I've become grumpy. I want some orange juice, and I can't wait for it, and I'm becoming frustrated and angry." So this is the transcendental lila of Srila Prabhupada, but he's joking, you know, that this is the condition of old age, actually. For simple things, one becomes very frustrated and angry because inside there's so much angst that I can't do what I want to do. Just to get from point A to point B, you know, it's such a struggle. You know, we see these things, but we don't think. As we've heard so many times, we never think it's going to happen to me. So, if inside the city of the body, all that we have is desires to enjoy outside of the body, at some point, those are going to be shut down, and we're not going to be able to feel the satisfaction that we want to feel from material circumstances. Of course, that's happening all the time, because regardless of what our bodily situation is, our karma dictates how much enjoyment we can get. But for everyone, regardless of his situation, old age takes away that capacity to enjoy like that. So, therefore spiritual life, the focus is internal cultivation, being able to enjoy within, being able to be active within, being able to have a sense of satisfaction within, because that doesn't depend on the senses. It doesn't depend on the, doesn't depend on the external capacity of the senses to interact with sense objects, because that will be taken away at some point or other. So, as a focus, we can consider that. It's a healthy consideration because it's a factual consideration. At some point, my external enjoyment is going to cease. So am I cultivating Krishna consciousness at an internal level? At the beginning of Krishna consciousness, the happiness comes from the activities itself, and this is wonderful, and this is what we're encouraged to do, and this is the only thing that, you know, helps us move forward, actually. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. As we move forward, simultaneously, we have to, not only are we meant to, not only are we asked to, but if we want to continue in Krishna consciousness, it has to come to a deeper level of, you can say, relationship with Krishna. You can say an understanding that I'm different from the body. You can say getting away from the conception that the happiness is coming from, you know, sangsparshaja, the touching of things of this world, or the seeing of things, or smelling and tasting and ingesting, and that part of it is necessary because we have a material body that has active senses that want to, that will go after those things. So we engage them in a purifying way. But at the same time, as we're doing those activities, the essence of those activities is connecting to Krishna, and that's something that is internal. So we're taking prasadam, and we're not going to get the full benefit only by the taste of the prasadam, although the devotees make nice prasadam, but by internalizing what is it that I'm receiving, something that's been in contact with Krishna, etc. So many things are there. So because devotees sometimes go through Krishna consciousness from an external perspective, and they can be happy like that. The mode of goodness brings happiness. What to speak of engaging in goodness activities in the association of devotees and the deities and so many more pleasing things than just the mundane kind of, you know, be truthful and charitable and all of that. So one can be happy, but one will miss out on the safety and shelter that's available in the relationship with Krishna that's supposed to be cultivated along with those activities. Just like we were hearing last night from Pratyushava Prabhu about Prahlad Maharaj. If he had an external idea of satisfaction, he would have been finished from day one. Hiranyakashipu wasn't trying to help him feel comfortable in his Krishna consciousness. He had internal shelter. Now that's a special gift that he was able to receive from Narada Muni. We may not receive that from day one of Krishna consciousness, but it's there. That's the ultimate, as he said, here's the juxtaposition of the perfect demon and the perfect devotee. The perfect devotee is Prahlad Maharaj, who completely was internally engaged in his relationship with Krishna, and the external circumstances had no effect. So here we're hearing about King Paranjana, who is, you know, not to make a false comparison, and just the picture that arrives, you know, he's like a fugitive or something, hiding and trying not to be destroyed by the persons who want to take everything away from him. So, but his position is very sad. As the chapter title tells us, he becomes a woman in his next life because he's not thinking of Krishna within, he's thinking of sense gratification. So, some of the specifics that Srila Prabhupada discusses, he specifically talks about how diseases are going to manifest at the gates of the body, and how that requires one to take so much help from outside things, medical sources, surgical procedures, appliances. I assume, you know, we can also throw in there, you know, a wheelchair and, you know, whatever else is going to come along with the program. So not only does it mean that we can't enjoy so much, but also there's less time for being able to cultivate spiritual life, because as the bodily situation becomes more complicated, we have to spend more time considering how to deal with the infirmities of the body. And for a Krishna conscious person, that doesn't have an effect because they can see Krishna everywhere. But for a person that hasn't strongly cultivated his spiritual life, the effect is, instead of focusing on my devotional service, what I can perceive as devotional service, I'm focusing on rather how to just make things work on a daily basis. All of us have some experience with that to some extent. You become sick, you have to deal with that. You go through some temporary or whatever it is, lifelong type of ailment. it does require time and attention and all of that. So as old age comes, the doesn't have to be absorption, but if we're not Krishna conscious, it will be absorption. The involvement in bodily activities will necessarily increase because one has to take care. When one's younger, one can just run and jump and eat a little here and there, and you know, this time of day and that time of day doesn't really matter. But you know, my grandparents, I saw, you know, they have this little medicine thing, and you got to take this medicine at this time of the day on this day, and like, you know, your life becomes more ruled by the laws of material nature if you're not a devotee. A devotee can see Krishna in all of these things, so that doesn't apply. But for persons who haven't cultivated Krishna consciousness, it's a deeper and deeper struggle to be able to bring one's mind to something outside of bodily circumstance. So, I don't think that we sniff ammonia anymore, but Prabhupada mentions that to be the kind of thing that we have to do to somehow keep the nostrils clear from mucus, you know, go to the dentist to deal with our dentures or teeth issue or whatever, and take special things just to be able to evacuate properly. And this is the reality that's there. It's not a coming attraction, it's a coming nightmare. But it's coming. So we're not into like the fear program, but we're into reality program. And the reality is this is the nature of material existence. So before that comes, we should understand the importance of cultivating activities within, happiness within. As we're doing our Krishna conscious activities, we're purifying our senses, spiritualizing our senses, and learning how to act actually through spiritual senses in relation to Krishna, not just in relation to things as our senses and mind can deal with them. And that's very practical. We should do everything with affection. We should do everything with meditation on this is pleasing to Krishna. That's what we're studying in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Now Krishna is saying, whatever occupation you're doing, it doesn't matter. If you do it under my instruction in full Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada says, one should think that I've been assigned this by Krishna and I'm doing it for Krishna's pleasure. That's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Because if we act like that, then the result will be whatever activities we're engaged in as time runs on, the focus will be the relationship. I'm doing this for Krishna. Krishna is the one who has empowered me to whatever extent, this extent, not to this extent. That's okay. That was another expression that Srila Prabhupada made in what I was reading, that this was in Bombay, and he had a nice apartment that the devotees, or whatever it is, room that the devotees had prepared for him in this big temple, and he wasn't coming down for the programs any longer because he wasn't really able to function on the gross level as he used to, you know, give classes and all of that. But he came down one day unexpectedly, and all the devotees were excited, and many devotees weren't there for Guru Puja, so he gave the class about how important Guru Puja is because devotees weren't coming to Guru Puja because he wasn't there. But he said, you know, I will come, I will give class, I will give darshan, answer questions, you know, as much as I can, and then it's, you know, up to Krishna, whatever capacity he gives me. So that's going to happen to everyone, but everyone won't be as satisfied as Srila Prabhupada in whatever service he can render. That's the opportunity that we have, is to achieve Krishna consciousness that will give us that satisfaction regardless of our bodily circumstance. So rather than being stuck in this very stark condition that is described by Srila Prabhupada, we can take to Krishna consciousness on a deeper level and recognize that this is something that's going to happen whether I want it to or not, whether I like to practice Krishna consciousness or not. I have to experience this, so let that be an impetus. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Let me accept the reality and do something about it. Now, while I have the opportunity, whatever my capacity is. So I'll stop there. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Like you were mentioning, taking care of the body, going to the hospital, these things, ad infinitum, because I don't really have taste for the Bhagavad Dharma. So I was wondering, my question is, how do we know at which stage to really, I mean, the whole process is for gaining more and more taste for these types of things. But many times we get like so immersed in just services. Like, and we feel that we're okay. I'm just like serving. I know I'm getting purified. Even though I don't feel the taste right now, I know hopefully somewhere along in the future I'll get the taste. And taste isn't coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how concerned should I really be? Because as old ages, you know, the nightmare is approaching as you expressed it. And I'm really not getting taste. How long will my hope for taste last before invalidity takes over everything? And then I don't have taste, and I have to pursue the try to maintain program and the material consciousness. Mm. So how do we know when to really ask ourselves, okay, what am I doing wrong, so I can really get taste for these things before it's too late?
If one is engaging in those activities, Krishna says, Tishram Satyati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantate. So if the focus of those activities isn't so much purification or just like, I don't mean purification in the sense that we want to become better devotees or something, but it isn't so much just like I'm doing okay, but priti purvakam, or striving for that at least, that Srila Prabhupada discusses being a pure devotee in that verse. Pure devotion, I mean to say. Or in that, maybe that's in the chapter 9, but The point is actually having real devotion. So if we're not cultivating real devotion towards Krishna, or that's not the aim of our activities, then that's not what we're going to get. Krishna's not going to give us something that we don't really want. If we just want to be active, then we'll get more activities. We're not going to get love for Krishna. So if we recognize in all those activities that what I want out of this is to have a relationship with Krishna, then whatever that Dadami Buddhi Yogam manifestation is, maybe it's some dissatisfaction, maybe it's some obstacles that, you know, are still there. Maybe it's a deeper understanding of, you know, the fact that I don't really have taste for Krishna consciousness. Krishna will, speaking from my experience and just what makes sense, Krishna will help us to understand that we're not really there yet. If we're satisfied with just going along with a program that keeps us doing something every day, then that's all that we're going to get. We'll get purification too, just because Krishna's there, but we're not going to get love for Krishna, or we're not going to ascend to the spiritual platform necessarily, because we're not interested in that. We're interested in just doing stuff. So if we follow devotional service as it's described by our acharyas, we have the nectar of devotion. If we hear about it and try to see if we're really doing things the way that they're asked to be done, and not just the activities but the mood and all of that, then it will come, and we can be confident about it. Otherwise, we can't be confident that just by doing stuff that's going to happen. So that's what I would say. If we know that we're following to the best of our capacity and desiring to follow like that, because even if we're not following like that, if we have the desire to follow like that, Krishna will help us understand how to follow better. So if that's our desire, I really want to get the gift that, you know, Rupa Goswami is giving on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then I'll get it sooner or later. But if I don't care about that gift and I'm just interested in somehow, you know, maintaining the status quo every day or whatever you want to describe it as, then I won't get it. So the external manifestation of what activities I'm doing, I'm thinking, is not so important in terms of what the result will be, but rather what's my intention? What do I want out of all of this? What am I seeking? Do I want the relationship with Krishna, or do I just want to stay here and be happy? That's the simple way that I can think of it. You have some other reference points for the Mataji?
Just on this point of Bhagavat Marg and Pancharatrika Marg, it's true that the activities of Pancharatrika Marg are more meant for purifying the current senses, you know, the material senses, and the Bhagavat Marg is more for direct engagement of our spiritual senses. However, one shouldn't look at the activities of the Pancharatrika Marg as, oh, they're just material activities to purify my material senses, and I'm not getting, it's not like giving me taste and what have you, because a Vaishnava actually, see, the Pancharatrika Marg path is also followed by just followers of the, well, I'm saying by the followers of the Vedas, but also the Vaishnavas, the actual Gaudiya Vaishnavas follow them too. And sometimes we think that taste means like a feeling that I get. Oh, wow, I got a taste. It feels so good. Whereas actually attachment to doing service is the real taste. So I was remembering one time Shutakirti Prabhu told a story that he traveled with Prabhupada serving him. And one time he flew with Prabhupada to some destination. And at that destination, many devotees greeted Prabhupada at the airport. And they were jumping up and down and ecstatic, you know, just like tears coming out of their eyes and everything. And Shutakirti Prabhu saw all these devotees, how they were just like in tears and ecstatic. And he was all like tired from traveling with Prabhupada and serving him so long. And so he was just like, So he saw those devotees and he said to Prabhupada, afterwards he said to Prabhupada, I saw all your disciples and they love you so much, and I realized I have no love for you, like I'm not anywhere like them. And then later that day, Prabhupada called him in and he said, answer one question, do you like serving me? He said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, that is love. He said, actually what you're doing, that is love. So I was thinking how like sometimes I even hear women complain that, oh, I spend my whole day cooking, cleaning, changing diapers, doing the laundry, going grocery shopping. But what they fail to realize is that is love. That is the taste we're looking for, to be always engaged in service to the point where I have no time to do anything else. You know, so when we're doing services, working hard, we shouldn't be thinking, oh, I'm working so hard, I have no time for developing taste. It's not that by abandoning service and going into a, you know, corner somewhere and just getting absorbed in hearing and chanting that that's how taste is going to come. Taste comes from, obviously, hearing and chanting, but in conjunction with service. So we have to be careful that we're not looking at service as something that's in the way of my hearing, my chanting, my developing taste, and what have you. I can be scrubbing the floor all day long and be meditating how in Vaikuntha, the goddesses of fortune, all her the goddess of fortune, all her expansions, are scrubbing the floors and washing the walls, not because they're dirty, not because they're dusty, but because they just want an excuse to render service. Like we come in and we go, oh, the floor's dirty, I have to clean it, the windows are dirty, I have to clean them. But if everything was perfectly clean, we'd be like, oh, there's no service to do. Well, let me just wash them anyway, just to have some service to do. Mm. So they're so attached to doing service that, you know, they do it even if it doesn't need to be done. So anyway, so I just wanted to make that point that we have to be careful that we don't think a taste means some kind of inner, you know, high that we get. Mm-hmm. It's actually our dedication to the service that Krishna... Because real love means that which pleases the beloved, whereas sense gratification means that which pleases me. So I may be doing so many things and getting a high and feeling ecstatic, but it doesn't mean Krishna's pleased. One time a devotee attended kirtan and then afterwards said to Prabhupada, wow, Prabhupada, I really enjoyed that kirtan. I got high on that one. And Prabhupada said, kirtan's not for your enjoyment, it's for Krishna's enjoyment. So he chastised him that he was enjoying the high that he got from it. So we have to be careful that we don't misunderstand what taste means. Mm. We have a material conception of what taste means often. So.
Clarification in the way of the expression of like, thank you for pointing out that we know that at different stages of our maturity, we have different services that have to be rendered. According to perhaps, let's say, circumstances of body or just new responsibilities come, so we have new services that may come, or new responsibilities that come, so we maybe shift services, let's say, and to please Krishna. The context of my questions and my and context of the discussion about old age coming, and we often have heard the point that in our neophyte stage, there are many services that are rendered due to the fact that we don't have also just, let's say, a profound appreciation for hearing chanting and remembering. We often sleep or are distracted when it comes to those activities. So that at that stage of immaturity, then, like Prabhupada says in CC, no one should go and try to chant like Haridasa Thakur because he'll just sleep soundly, you know, and because he doesn't have that profound appreciation. So in context of the discussion here, I was wondering, as the body is getting older and we're not able to render various services with the physical body itself, where it becomes like more essential for a more profound appreciation for just hearing and chanting and remembering if there were like incapacitated or there's invalidity, That was the context that I was coming from. Then how concerned should I be if I really don't have that profound appreciation? So then I'm just sitting in like my bed or in a situation where I'm not able to think of Krishna. Yeah, exactly. So that was exactly my point. So then how, I was appreciating his answer also. If we just want to be active, we'll get more activities. But how do we understand that we're moving in the right direction? Because, okay, I'm rendering services, and that is itself a taste. But then when I old age attacks, and then I'm really not having that profound appreciation for just hearing about Krishna, and et cetera. I mean, this thing that you see kind of like happens all the time. It's like when it's time for doing something, we are fired up, and then when it's just time for hearing, like now our temple is good, but I remember when I first joined, when it would be kirtan or something active, everyone would be fired up. As soon as the Sunday feast class would start, everyone would be at the pizza parlor. You know, there was just no appreciation. And they may be doing service throughout the day, but then as soon as it was time for hearing, you know, at the pizza parlor, at ice cream or outside, talking pajab and all these things. So how do we know that we're getting, I guess it's kind of obvious in one sense, but if we're not experiencing that, there's always like this hope for the future, it's going to come. Just keep at it, you're going to get purified in the future. So how do we just, I guess I'm going to say, ensure that when we are being attacked by invalidity, et cetera, or we're unable to, or we get sick even in our young age, we're not able to do something. Mm-hmm. Just a clarification.
Please.
Well, one thing is in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that at early stages of devotional maturation, one is attached to the service, but in more advanced stages, one is attached to the object of service. So all of us, while we're younger and healthier and stronger, we should be fully engaged in service, but we should also take breaks sometimes from busy service and go on a little retreat. Like go away from the big city, go away from your active service life, and go try to like hang out in Gitanagari for a weekend when there's not really anybody around, and just all you can do is hear and chant, and then you'll see where you're at, right? And then also Prabhupada said a sign that we're actually attached to Krishna rather than just the intellectual platform of hearing and chanting is that when we hear about and study and read about the activities of the Lord in his Srishti Leela, his creation of the material world, how he creates the material world, what's the structure of the material world, and all this and that, that we should feel just as happy doing that as hearing Rasa Leela. So sometimes people want to read, you know, the personal Leela of Vraja Krishna, but they don't want to hear, you know, let's skip the fifth canto, right? I don't.
obviously a million times more than I have heard from your God brothers. So all I can share is the little thing that I've heard is that, from Milay Lamrita probably, is one devotee, I can't remember if it was Vaisheshika Prabhu or, but he was saying, no, it was, I think, Tripurari Swami. He was saying that somebody, that he felt just as connected with Srila Prabhupada doing the service of boat distribution as he did when he was, if he got to see Srila Prabhupada or something. So they were always out doing boat distribution and, you know, they weren't like traveling with Srila Prabhupada, but they didn't feel disconnected because that this is the service that he's given us and we're just doing it on his behalf. So we're naturally, you know, just connected with Srila Prabhupada. So that verse that you quoted is, I think, the that's all that I'll say, you know, is that because it's Mahat Seva, that's what they're doing.
Prabhupada did say that about book distribution. He said, if you're distributing my books, you should consider that you're serving me personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone, I think, was lamenting that he didn't have any
personally. Yeah. So if, I think that's the essence, at least, that I would take from it, is that if that's the servant given by the, you know, Mahat, great personality, then that internal cultivation that was kind of the theme of the class will be there. If it's just I want to do some activities that I like doing, then the internal or the relationship aspect isn't also being cultivated at the same time. So, so doing it on behalf of, for the pleasure of, as Krishna said, under my instructions, under my shelter, for my pleasure, then that's it. There's that nice verse in chapter 18 that we were discussing on Friday. I can't remember the verse number, 56 or 7. And that's what Srila Prabhupada says, is one has to actually know that this is the instruction that Krishna is giving you, and then if you carry that out as your prime necessity of life, the result is Krishna consciousness. Because as you described, that's the that connection is there with that. And then so many other nice elements to test that also were brought up in the discussion. So it's past 8:30. If anybody else wants to add anything, I'm not adding anything. I'm just repeating what I appreciated. Yeah. I think we can do the time thing. That's okay. It sounds like we don't have cut up today, so, or not too much. So I'm fine, but... Yeah, internet question. Yeah.
So it's from Ankit Bora. And his question is, Hare Krishna Prabhu, can you please comment on service assigned to us which are beyond our scope according to our level of devotion? Please tell something about the mood while executing such service.
Well, unfortunately, on internet questions, you can't ask for clarification. So... I'll just try to answer it to the best. Maybe he'll respond something, but I'll just try to answer it to the best of my ability to understand what he's asking about. Beyond our scope. So we shouldn't be... Huh? Which it shouldn't really be. So if you're getting the instruction from the right person, then it shouldn't be beyond the scope of your level of devotion. So check there first. Where is the instruction coming from? If that's the right person, then you should be confident that it's not beyond the scope of your level of devotion. So what it could be, two things. One, we need to grow a little bit to be able to properly carry out that service. So that's just part of the service. You have to do what it takes to, you know, develop your Krishna consciousness a little bit more so that you can perform it properly. Another thing is that we may have a misconception about what the service is supposed to be. So we could be trying to do something that's beyond our capacity, which isn't actually what we were ever asked to do in the first place, and that also could be a problem. So some clarification might be in order. If it's an instruction that's genuinely given by somebody that, you know, that you trust in Krishna consciousness, then it seems like this is beyond my capacity. Is this what you're asking me to do? maybe some practical clarification could be beneficial. That's the profundity of my response. If anybody else wants to help Ankit, I'd be happy to listen. But stop there if not. Okay. Okay. Well, ecstatic. I don't know if we have Sunday feast cut up. Do we still have it, but just not too much, I guess? Something is there. Okay. Well, let's go downstairs anyway and pick up the knives and see what Vishwakarma Prabhu says. But thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande.